and FM, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. The crucial matter of presidential safety has again overshadowed another trip to the hustings by a chief executive who likes to travel. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. This time, it wasn't a close call in a crowd, but one on the road. En route to the airport in Hartford, Connecticut, the armored presidential limousine carrying Mr. Ford was struck at an intersection by a car driven by a teenager. Mr. Ford was unhurt. Here's what happened as eyewitness Gene Cook saw it.
When the president's car was coming by, I guess the guy didn't know what was going on, and the guy had a green light, and the president had a red one. The guy hit him sideswipe, right? And when he did, you know, everybody just started getting out of cars.
Those were the Secret Service men with their guns drawn, but there were no more problems, and with a slightly dented fender, the limousine brought an unhurt chief executive to the ramp and Air Force One. A flanking motorcycle escort had apparently failed to block the intersection for the passing presidential motorcade. Local police have still not decided whether to hold the offending young motorist. President Ford's primary mission in Hartford was to draw paying crowds to a Republican fundraising dinner, but he also found time for an unscheduled appearance before another audience, which heard him herald some glad economic tidings. Correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports.
Speaking extemporaneously to a group of Connecticut realtors, President Ford hinted that there will be good news on the economic front shortly. White House aides later disclosed that figures soon to be released by the federal government will show more than a 9% increase in the gross national product for the third quarter of this year. That compares with a decrease for the first quarter and a small 2% increase for the second quarter of this year, and should put the total GNP well over $1.5 trillion. White House sources also say that this indicates the nation's economic recovery is even stronger than anticipated. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Hartford, Connecticut.
I'll have more news in a minute.
In God we trust. America speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have failings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's failings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
A second Soviet citizen has been named a winner of the 1975 Nobel Prize. He's Russian mathematician Leonid V. Kantarovich, and he's to be honored for his contribution to economic science, specifically for having brought more efficient use of resources to the cumbersome Soviet economy. Kantarovich to share his $143,000 prize with Tjalling Koopmans of Yale University. Koopmans also honored for his contributions to the field of resource management. Kantarovich resorted to a Russian proverb when asked what he would do with his money. One should not divide the bear skin before the bear is dead, he said. Kantarovich seemed to be raising the question of whether he'll be allowed to personally collect his prize in Oslo. The Russians are unhappy over the naming of dissident Andrei Sakharov as recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. If Sakharov is not allowed to go, the Kremlin may be hard put to give a visa to Kantarovich as well. A heavily armed former Marine suspected of robbing a bank and killing a Nevada policeman has released the three hostages he held at a Lake Tahoe resort and given himself up. According to a report filed with the Federal Election Commission, the Reagan for President Committee has raised nearly $3 for every four donated to the Ford campaign. I'll have more news in a minute.
There's a lot going on this weekend, and it's going on right here. I am Gordon Barnes, and this Saturday, I'll bring you one of the many new broadcasts beginning on the CBS Radio Network. I call it Barnstorming, and each week we'll take to the skies and explore the fascinating mysteries of weather. why it sometimes does and sometimes doesn't do the things we expect. Barnstorming's a new approach to understanding weather. Listen for me this Saturday and stay tuned to this station for news of the other new broadcast on the CBS Radio Network.
On the Sioux Indian Reservation in Sisseton, South Dakota, hard times are nothing new.
You know, we are called poverty people and everything else, but whatever.
What is new is a cattle raising cooperative funded by the Campaign for Human Development.
The main idea is to have everybody help themselves by getting their own machine and doing the things for themselves.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
The Cincinnati Reds pulled off a sudden-death victory in the bottom of the 10th inning to win the third game of the World Series 6-5. The Reds now lead the Boston Red Sox in the series 2-1. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for rain tomorrow morning, showers with partial clearing tomorrow afternoon. Partly cloudy tomorrow night and Thursday. The highs in the mid-50s and lows in the mid-40s. 70% chance of rain tomorrow, 40% by tomorrow night. And in downtown Seattle, it's 55 degrees. The barometer steady. It reads 30.11. And in sports, as you heard, the Cincinnati Reds won the third game of the World Series, 6-5 in 10 innings over the Boston Red Sox. The Reds took it on Joe Morgan's base-loaded single in the bottom of the 10th. This gave the Reds a 2-1 game edge in the best-of-seven series. In the National Hockey League, the New York Islanders defeated Montreal 5-3, St. Louis down Kansas City by a score of 5-1. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next at 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. It is said that fine feathers do not make fine birds. It is also claimed that you cannot judge a book by its cover. Unfortunately, both these trenchant observations have been consigned to the limbo of wise sayings that are constantly being disregarded. Birds, books, and even people are always being judged by their appearance. The sad truth is that the overwhelming majority of us will choose a beautiful fool over a homely philosopher. Well, that's life. And sometimes, that's death.
Did you kill him?
Well...
Never mind well. Did you kill him? Answer yes or no.
I'm not sure.
What do you mean you're not sure?
I really don't know.
Did you buy a knife?
Yes.
Are those your fingerprints on the knife?
Yes.
Then how can you deny that you killed him?
I admit it. It looks bad for me, Mars.
Bad? It looks terrible.
The only thing that makes me doubt that I'm a murderer... No, I can't tell you.
You must tell me.
Well, promise not to laugh.
I promise.
Mars, there is one thing I could never do. Now you have to believe me. I could never kill a man who wore a pink shirt.
Our mystery drama, The Rape of the Maya, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Arnold Stang and Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Budweiser, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say but, you got as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say but, you said the word that means you like to do it all. big butt. You say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something less, because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser, you said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
Beware, said Henry David Thoreau, of all enterprises that require new clothes. That was all very well for Henry T., who liked to live single-o at Walden Pond, where he could commune with frogs and flowers and field mice. My Lord, if everybody had that attitude toward new clothes, what would happen to a certain little world that lies within the confines of Manhattan Island, a universe in microcosm, which is simply known as Seventh Avenue? But enough philosophy. You tune us in for action. We'll give you action. A most beautiful young girl is walking down 7th Avenue near 37th Street. She is clad in a stunning, shimmering, flowing dress. It is a dress to inflame the imagination and arouse the passions. And here is a young man who has been obviously aroused and inflamed because, without warning, he grabs her.
Let go of me! Who are you? What?
That's mine. Now, that is mine.
Take your hands off
me. That gown. Where did you get that gown?
Oh, scream.
Take that dress off. It's mine.
Help! Help!
No, no, don't scream.
There's a maniac. Help me.
Now, just listen. Help. Listen, you fool.
You're choking me.
Yes, I'm choking you. I have to make you stop screaming. Now, look, you're an intelligent girl. Now, you must promise to be good. No,
no.
Now, don't open your mouth. Just listen. I'm going to let go of you. See? Now, take off that dress.
Thank you, officer. I shall call when I require your services again.
I'll kill him. I'll destroy him utterly.
Vaughn, it's too early in the morning to talk about killing.
He stole the Maya.
All right, so he stole the Maya.
Oh, sure, you could say, all right. Is the Maya your inspired vision? Was the Maya distilled from your blood? You fat Philistine.
I'm trying to lose weight.
I shall assassinate that depraved thief.
You'll be out of here by lunchtime.
I'll let out his heart's blood.
Now, Vaughn, we have to get back to work. The show is in 13 days. I need another design.
Morris. How can you speak of new designs? I lie here violated, ravaged, distraught.
Give me something I can produce for $49.95.
Leave me, Morris, with my grief.
A simple little frock with a collar. Vaughn, what do you think about a collar?
Oh, that viper. I allowed him to sit at my feet, basking in the rays of my creativity.
I got it. Let's bring back the Peter Pan collar.
And that infamous wretch plunges a poison dagger into my back.
Vaughn, listen to me. The reason you're getting off easy, I saw that girl's father last night. I thought if I would explain to him about the Maya...
The rape of the Maya.
How you designed this gorgeous dress, and for only $39.95.
Be my witness, Myers. The dagger he plunged into my back is the dagger I shall thrust into his heart.
But I take a look at the father, a giant, a hard hat. When I say who I am, he says, "What do you want?" I'm telling you, if looks could kill, I'd be a corpse.
To design the Maya. Maya, daughter of Atlas and Diana. I was inspired by the ancient gods themselves.
But I explained to him how you created such a masterpiece and had it stolen from you by your best friend,
no.
Who turns around and sells it to another manufacturer. Why, this big giant, you know what? He just sat down and cried.
Through the heart. Through his false, perfidious heart. I shall stab him.
So, no charges, everything's fixed.
I shall rid the world of an abomination that calls itself Perry Fullerton.
You come right back to work this afternoon.
I shall never take pencil in hand again. Leave me with my grief.
All right. God! You know, Vaughn, when I heard that you were arrested for attacking a girl, I... Well, how could I believe it? Sally Joe, I have to talk to you.
Oh, well?
Sally Joe, I'm in trouble.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sugar.
What I mean is real trouble.
Oh, I'm genuinely sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's a bad scene. Oh, it's total trouble.
Oh, Perry, honey.
Have you seen Adrian?
Adrian?
Yes, if Adrian finds me, I'll...
Harry, sugar, now why should you be scared?
I need $500, like right now.
But you got $500. You took that adorable little Maya dress over to the man at Personality Fox, and he gave you $500 in nice new bills.
He did.
Well, then you have the $500.
Well,
Well, what?
He don't have the 500, sir.
Adrian!
Yeah, it's Adrian.
Sally Joe, what is he doing here?
What am I doing here? I paid a rent, that's what I'm doing here.
Well, now, that's not really true.
It ain't. Perry owes me 500, so he's paying your rent with my money.
Adrian, let me explain.
What's to explain? You just come up with five big bills which you owe me. Dig into them green pants of yours.
They're aqua.
And hand over the dough.
I had the money. I
don't like where this is headed.
But, well, you know, do you know the shoddy way they make things
you
today?
You ain't gonna like it either.
Well, there's a hole in my pocket, you see? And the money just slipped out.
I'll tell you where the dough slipped out. You stopped off on the way down here. You laid the whole 500 on some nag.
That's not true.
The race is over, but your nag is still running.
Now, Adrian, don't press me.
You see this little slip of paper? Read it.
Nobody pushes me around.
Everybody pushes you around, punk. Read what it says on the paper.
Maya, 500, PF. Well?
That's your marker. You put 500 on her nose and she come in dead last.
Maya? Maya, how could a horse named Maya lose? Vaughn and I designed a gown called Maya.
Vaughn and you? Oh, now, sugar.
Oh, you're always trying to put me down, Sally. Joe, you... Vaughn warned me about
you. Shut up. She's on your side. She showed you how to raise 500 by stealing the dress design. But the natural-born sucker like you can't pass by a betting parlor or a bookie. You must have dropped the whole 500.
I told you there was a hole in my pocket.
The money burned the hole in it. You treat yourself pretty good on my dough, don't you? Oh. Punk, you must have paid 50, 60 bucks for that red shirt.
It's pink, flamingo.
You don't make a sucker out of me.
Adrian, sugar, you're raising your voice.
This punk, I'm gonna kill him.
That won't get you your $500.
It'll get me something else, satisfaction.
Adrian, you can't afford to kill a person just for satisfaction.
Why not? Why can't a guy do something just because he wants to? I'm human. I got needs.
Adrian.
Hey, now, you've got to fold up that knife.
Adrian.
You don't want to kill me.
But I do.
I'll pay you.
You ain't never gonna pay me.
No, but I will. I swear I will.
You had the money.
I know. And on the way down here, well, I heard about a good thing in the Fifth at Starlight Park. At 8-1. Oh, his name was Clothes Horse. Can you imagine? Clothes Horse, and I'm a designer.
You're an assistant designer.
So, I thought, well, I'd have enough to pay you back plus. Clothes Horse. Oh, if you were me, wouldn't you bet your life on Clothes Horse?
You know what you are. You are a hunchbetter.
Oh, yes, 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 indeed. I am a hunchbetter.
You know what happens to hunchbetters? They die broke, you understand?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. I do. They die broke.
So, as long as you're broke, why shouldn't you die now?
No, I swear to you, Adrian, I'll get that money. I'll pay you back. Only please, please don't kill me.
Oh, I don't know. How can a soft-hearted guy like me expect to get anywhere in this world?
Oh, believe me, Adrian. Forget what you hear. Nice guys do finish first.
So, I ain't gonna kill you.
Oh, and you won't regret it. I'll pay you back every cent.
But just to make sure you remember, I'm gonna carve a little mark.
No, you keep away.
On the right side of that chin of yours.
Adrian, no,
stand still.
No, I won't.
Don't try to fight him, Perry. Now, don't.
Let go of my arm, punk.
No, I won't let you kick me.
I said let go.
No, don't. Don't kill him.
Hold still. You're getting off cheap.
No. You killed him.
I told him to stand still. It was his own fault.
Oh, the blood. Look at that blood all over his shirt.
Who's that?
Open up, Perry Fullerton. I know you're in there. Open the door and face me.
Keep still or go away.
The door.
What about the door?
Perry Fullerton, you have raped the mayor. You shall reap the whirlwind.
The door. It isn't locked. Oh, what'll we do if he turns the knob?
In this package, I have a gift for you. Come, let me look at your face as I unwrap it.
Perry Fullerton, you forgot to lock your door against fate. You're a dead man.
Why, he just fainted.
You know this creep?
Well, sure, of course. His name is Vaughn.
Oh, not anymore, it ain't. It's just been changed.
It has.
To Patsy. Leave me make a few arrangements.
Thank you, officer. Tell me, isn't this where I came in? Vaughn, you know what they say. They say you killed him.
Yes.
The door was open. A neighbor passed by. They say you were lying there, unconscious, on the floor next to him.
Yes.
The knife. The knife with the switchblade, with blood on it, was in your hand.
Yes.
They say you had the motive.
Yes.
And so, when you add all this together, it proves you killed him. That's what they say.
Yes, Morris, that's what they say.
But, Vaughn, you know what I say. I say I don't believe a word they say.
Why, Morris? Why?
Because I believe you're innocent. I refuse point blank to believe them.
No, Morris. Believe them.
What are you saying? Why should I believe them?
Because they happen to be right. I'm guilty.
Guilty? Vaughn, how can you even say such a thing?
Because, Morris, it's true.
Oh, no. No, not you.
I killed him.
I can't believe it. How could a person like you kill another human being?
What a pointed and pertinent question. How could Vaughn have done it? Especially since we were present and know full well how matters went. The usual procedure is for the guilty to claim innocence. Here, on the other hand, is an innocent who claims guilt. Well, that's why we have a second act. So we can turn the screw even tighter.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of efficiency that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind. How it's gonna be, your spirit's free.
Hi, this is Carol Burnett. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 and made life miserable for people in Germany. And that's why the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, was formed. It began by helping refugees from Hitler's Germany and went on to help millions more in World War II. But its work didn't end there because war and oppression didn't end there. Remember the brave Hungarians who stood up to the Russians in 1956? Well, IRC helped many who escaped. And since then, IRC has come to the aid of thousands who have escaped from Cuba, China, East Germany, Russia, or wherever freedom is pretty much of a meaningless word. It also does its work in countries ravaged by war. But IRC needs money for food, clothing, and medical care, to reunite families, to find people jobs, and homes for children without homes. So please, help the people who help. Send your money to this address, International Rescue Committee, Box 16, Times Square Station, New York City, New York, 10036.
Maya was the name of the ancient Greek goddess of fertility. Maya is also the name of a sleek 3-year-old racehorse who is still considered a maiden, meaning she hasn't won yet. And finally, Maya is the name of a beautiful gown designed by Vaughan Lemaire. Well, the goddess named Maya inspired the gown, but the racehorse named Maya inspired a losing bet, which produced a chain of circumstances, the latest link of which finds our poor Vaughan Lemaire in prison, charged with murder.
Listen, Vaughan, a nut you probably are, but a murderer, definitely not.
Oh, how little we know the inner heart of another human being.
Don't start up with me, Vaughan, I know you.
Oh, Morris, Morris, like Diogenes, you seek so desperately for the minuscule speck of what is good in man.
Did you kill him?
Did I kill him?
Say yes or no.
Yes.
I don't believe it. Look me in the eye and say yes.
Yes.
I still don't believe it.
Why? Why won't you believe
it? Will you stop being stubborn? You want to sit in the electric chair? You didn't kill him, and that's all there is to it.
Morris, accept reality.
You talk to me about reality.
Oh, poor Morris, the eternal optimist. You so desperately want to believe in the essential goodness of man, but man is evil. The flesh is wicked. I have the brand of Cain, the murderer's mark.
What are you talking about? How could you kill anybody? You faint at the sight of blood.
Yes, that's true. But you don't see the blood until afterward.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Wise Guy. Wind up in the chair with the wires and the metal cap.
I decided to kill him. I purchased the knife. I went to the apartment, and I killed him. You must accept it, Morris.
No.
Oh, poor Morris. Poor, loyal, loving Morris.
You mean you killed him? You really actually killed him?
Now, please, you mustn't feel so badly.
I'll get you a lawyer.
Now, please, Morris, not your son-in-law.
Sheldon's a wonderful lawyer.
I don't want a wonderful lawyer.
Why not?
He might get me acquitted.
That would be bad.
I'm guilty. I must pay for my crime.
Bond, is there anything you need?
Solitude. I must compose the speech.
What speech?
When the judge will say, Vaughan Lemaire, do you have anything to say before sentence is passed upon you? I intend to be ready.
Yeah. I tell you, Vaughan, after they made you, they threw away the model. Uh, uh, uh,
Lieutenant Valentine.
What can I do for you, Mr.?
Goodman. Morris Goodman of Goodman Originals. We're almost neighbors. I hate to bother you in the middle of a working day.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Goodman. We at your police department are public servants, constantly at your disposal.
Yeah. It's about Vaughn LeMaire.
Oh, yes. Vaughn LeMaire. Are you a blood relative?
Well, I'm closer than that. He's my designer.
Well, how may I help you?
Well, I just can't believe he would commit a murder.
Why can't you believe?
Well, because...
Because people we know do not commit murder, correct? Murderers are subhuman, evil strangers.
But he's such a gentle person. He's crazy, maybe, but...
Yes, but there's an extensive literature on the subject. Now, are you familiar with Kovalevsky's theory of supportive denial?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, in a situation where the accused is an outwardly gentle, law-abiding person who does not fulfill the normal stereotype of the psychotic with homicidal tendencies, his immediate personal community will weave a protective web.
Yes, I think I understand.
Yes, to protect the murderer, yes. But also to protect their own emotional investment in him.
Yes, but even so...
Well, our faith in a cause and a belief in another human being dies hard. But fact, as Trevelyan wrote, is usually the killer of faith. So, motive... Under Perry Fullerton's body, this slip of paper. Yeah, please read it.
Maya, 500, T.F.
A note to himself. Now, he could get $500 from P.F., personality frocks, or the Maya, which he did.
Yes.
The knife itself, switchblade... Bloodstained and with his fingerprints on the handle.
Yes. Tell me, what's in that box? The one with the gift wrapping. It looks like something he bought at Julio's down the street.
Inside this gift wrap box was nothing.
Why would he bring a gift wrap box with nothing inside?
For a symbolic reason. Perhaps because what he was truly bringing Perry Fullerton... was death.
Yes.
And finally, this document, his confession, fully and freely given, in which he admits the murder. Well, Mr. Goodman? To prove murder, we must show the accused is guilty beyond the shadow of a doubt. Now, are you still in that shadow, Mr. Goodman?
No. No, you're right. I didn't want to believe it, but how long can I insist the earth is flat? Thank you, Lieutenant. Thank you, officer.
Morris!
I came over as fast as I could. Now, what is the matter, Vaughn? You're so excited.
Morris, I'm being framed.
For what?
For murder. I didn't kill Perry Fullerton.
Yes, you did.
Who says so?
Who? You! You convinced me that you killed him. The knife, the fingerprints.
I thought I killed him.
You thought? How could you think?
Because I was making a natural assumption.
Oh, is that so?
I had every intention of killing him. Therefore, I went to Julio's. I purchased a knife. I went to the apartment. The next thing I knew, I was lying there beside his dead body on the floor, the knife in my hand. And so, wouldn't it be... natural to assume that I had accomplished my mission and killed him.
Yes, it would be natural.
But this morning, as I awoke from troubled slumber, I realized that I did not kill him.
How could you realize?
That when I walked inside the door, he was already lying dead on the floor, and I fainted at the sight of the blood.
No, Vaughn. You convinced me the other day.
Two people were standing there in that room.
Oh, yes, I know. And they had just gotten off from a flying saucer. Now, please, Vaughn.
I didn't kill him. Sally Joe. You know Sally Joe. She used to be our model. I fired her because she became obese.
Or maybe she put on a little weight, but obese.
She was standing there with Adrian.
Vaughn, who could believe such a story?
A person who calls himself my friend could believe it.
I can't keep up with you. One day you're guilty, the next day you're innocent.
All right. Let me prove it to you that I am innocent.
I went to Julio's to purchase the knife. It was a Damascene blade.
Oh, please.
This was to be the most artistic and exquisite killing in the entire history of personal assassination.
Oh, even when you talk about a knife, it makes me...
I would confront him and I would say, I have a gift. I shall unwrap it. I shall present it. Point first. And I would. But I fainted. You yourself, you know I faint at the sight of blood.
Sheldon says it won't be too bad. You can plead temporary insanity.
But you see, I couldn't have killed him unless and until I could make him change his shirt.
Now, what is this?
Morris, his shirt was flamingo pink. His blood was bright red. Well, truthfully, the sight of that atrocious clash in colors is what made me pass out.
But as you said yourself, the blood you don't see till afterwards.
No, Morris, not I. Had he been alive when I entered the flat, had I held the knife to his breast, I would have seen the red blood before it gushed forth to stain the pink shirt. I, a designer, see things before they exist.
Well, then, Vaughn, how...
Morris! Have you ever known me to mix pink and red? Have you? Oh, I'm ill. I just can't think of it.
Vaughn, will you please shut up? A person can't hear himself think.
Morris, have I ever lied to you?
Oh, constantly. And I don't mind. It's part of your genius.
I wanted to kill him. I bought the knife, but I never even unwrapped the package. He was dead when I got there. I'm innocent, Morris.
Vaughn.
Believe me, Morris. You must believe me.
I understand, Mr. Goodman, and there is also an extensive literature on that subject.
Is that so, Lieutenant?
Have you read Feuerbacher on Immaculate Cancellation?
Well, I couldn't be sure.
Unwilling to face the fact of murder, the worst of crimes, the subject will cancel the memory and thus cleanse himself of guilt.
What you're saying is he's telling a lie.
Because he cannot face the enormity of the deed.
One thing he said made sense. He couldn't stab a man who was wearing a bright pink shirt. The colors would clash.
You're saying he wouldn't violate his artistic principles?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Why not? He was willing to violate his moral ones.
I believe him.
Here is the knife with his fingerprints.
I know, but yet he says he brought it there in that box and never even took it out.
Fingerprints. Bloodstains. These are the facts which tell us otherwise.
The knife. Oh, wait. It's a switchblade knife, no?
Yes.
It's not what you would call highly artistic.
No, but you would call it highly effective.
This? This is the knife he bought?
Why not? It's good enough to do the job.
You lied to me.
I swear to you, Morris, I told you the truth.
What is this nonsense about an artistic knife with a damaged, whatever you call it, blade?
It's true.
I saw the knife. It had your fingerprints on
it. Somebody placed them there while I was unconscious.
It was a common, ordinary, everyday switchblade knife that any common, ordinary, everyday hoodlum would use.
Impossible. Here, I'll show you. I have the sales slip from Julio. Well, I don't have it with me. They took everything out of my pocket.
Vaughn, please, you should really tell me the truth.
But it's true. Ask Julio. He'll tell you. Just ask Julio.
Did you know Vaughn? He walks up the island, down the island, pounds his fist on the counter. He's going to kill Perry Fullerton. Can I sell him a knife?
And so you sold him a knife. Oh, Julio. How could you sell him a knife? He was behaving like a maniac.
Morris, how can you say such a thing about me?
But you did sell him the knife. You knew he was ready to kill, and you sold him a knife.
I sold it to him, and I didn't sell it to him.
At the same time?
At one and the same time.
You realize we're discussing a physical impossibility?
Listen to how clever I did it. He picks out this dagger. Genuine. Made in Toledo. Not Ohio, Spain.
Continue.
And he wants it gift wrapped.
This much I know without you.
What you don't know is how I gift wrap it. I gave it to Regina.
Oh, she still works? I thought she got married.
And the receipt, I write the letters COP.
Cop. That spells cop.
It also stands for cooling off period. When I sell an angry person a weapon, I make sure he don't walk out of the store with it so he can commit murder on the spot.
So what do you do?
I give the signal to Regina not to put it in the box. So she gift wraps an empty package. A day or two later, the customer comes back, but he ain't angry enough to kill anybody anymore.
So what you're telling me is he walked out of here without the knife.
Hey, great idea, Morris, no?
So he never used it to kill Perry.
How could he use it to kill Perry? Still in the store.
Then he was telling me the truth. He didn't kill Perry. But how is such a thing possible?
Well, you knew it all along. But then, of course, you were there when it happened. Remember, Morris is trying to put it all together out of thin air. And he isn't even a police officer. What is Morris going to do to convince people of Vaughn's innocence? With ethereal characters like Vaughn, there's really nothing solid to hold on to. Yesterday, Vaughn was guilty. Today, he's innocent. Will the pendulum swing again tomorrow? We still have a third act.
The flames are solved! Seal the door! Go rope! Position!
As an army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who joined the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who joined the army. You could go a long, long way.
Information, call 800-523-5000, toll free. Join the people who've joined the Army.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. They even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Perry Fullerton cheated two people. He stole a design from Vaughn Lemaire, and he welched on a bet he owed to bookmaker Adrian Smollett. Both Vaughn and Adrian were furious enough to kill him. And while Adrian committed the murder, poor Vaughn is getting the blame, thus proving the old proverb, the early bird gets the credit.
But, Lieutenant, he didn't even have a knife.
I'm afraid he did, Mr. Goodman. It's here on the table.
That isn't the knife he bought from Julio. Julio didn't put the knife in the package.
Precisely, Mr. Goodman. And when Vaughn discovered the package was empty, he picked up another knife, this knife, the bloodstained knife with his fingerprints on it.
But he swears that he saw Sally Joe Crabtree and Mr. Adrian Smollett. They were in the room, and Perry was already dead on the floor when he arrived.
There is an extensive literature on the subject, Mr. Goodman.
I should have known.
Have you heard Tillinghast on compulsive psychotic association?
No.
Well, I suppose you could say it means... misery loves company. A man in trouble tries to involve others.
You say he's lying, huh?
He's fantasizing.
But he says he saw them.
We asked Miss Crabtree and Mr. Smollett to come in for questioning.
And what happened?
They were out of town these past 3 days. They only returned this morning.
Lieutenant, I am a judge of character. I tell you, and you heard it here first, that Vaughn Lemaire is not guilty.
Maurice.
Oh, hello, Julio.
Maurice, when a man eats lunch, he should have a smile on his face.
With this weight on my heart, how can I have a smile on my face?
Vaughn?
Julio, he was like a son to me.
He was a good designer. I say that much for him.
What do you mean, was? You talk like he's dead.
They're going to put him away, Maurice. He's so open and close.
While there is life,
there's hope. But is that enough?
Hey, listen. Do you want to bet on a horse?
Did I ever bet on a horse in my life?
You things, Maurice. That's the secret of keeping young. This is a horse. You, in particular, should bet on.
Be good enough to explain why I should violate the principles of a lifetime.
Because of the horse's name.
Yes?
This horse is called Maya. M-A-I-A.
Hey, that was the name of Vaughn's design.
There is a horse called Maya also.
I never heard of him.
I think he's a horse.
You mean lady horses also run, along with the men?
That's why I understand.
Only in America?
No, Puerto Rico too.
A horse called Maya. I can't get over it.
Regina, she read the papers a lot.
I always said she was an intelligent girl.
She read the one ads to find a job for her husband.
The actor.
The one ads are near the racing pages. And there, she sees a horse named Maya. He's gonna race at Southern Gardens.
I never heard of it.
Me neither. He's somewhere in Louisiana.
Maya is also a racehorse.
Aha.
Aha what?
Well, right now it's only aha. Maybe later it'll be something else.
Morris, I swear to you, I did not kill him.
But he is dead.
Well, of course he's dead.
Then somebody had to kill him.
But it wasn't me.
Then who else could it be?
Are you asking me, Morris?
Is there somebody else sitting in this cell that I could ask?
Am I a detective?
Am I? For the last week, I haven't been in the shop even.
I don't know who could have killed him.
Tell me, did he owe money?
He's dead, and I must protect his name.
Then I say goodbye right now.
Morris. He didn't know what he was doing. You see, he was desperate. He needed $500. I refused him. That's why. That's why he stole the Maya.
Tell me, did he bet on horses?
Oh, can't we leave his memory green?
Yes or no?
Oh, yes. Morris, why this inquisition?
This man, this Adrian Smollett, what does he do?
I think he's a gambler.
Aha! Now it fits. Now it's a perfect size 10.
What are you saying, Morris?
But my problem is, how do I sell it?
Be right with you, sugar. Oh, it's Morris.
May I come in?
Well, certainly, Morris.
Well, it's a very nice looking place.
Thank you, Morris.
I haven't had a chance yet to say how sorry I am about Perry. After all, you and Perry.
Thank you again, Morris. You're so sweet.
I wonder, could you do me a small favor?
Why, I'd be delighted, Morris.
Well, you see, this is something new to me.
Well, you sound like a man who's going to attempt something naughty.
Oh, well, Sally Joe, for me it would be naughty. I think I want to bet on a horse.
Maurice.
Well, shouldn't a man have some fun from life?
Well, absolutely.
I was reading in the papers and I saw the name of a horse. It runs somewhere, I don't know, way down in the South.
Oh, honey, they're the best.
A horse named... You know, I can't get over it. Could you believe the name of this horse?
Well, sugar, I'd have to know it first, wouldn't I?
Maya.
Maya. But that's...
That's what?
Nothing. It's just a coincidence.
Isn't it? True, it was stolen. No, let us not say that. He's dead, poor Perry. Let him rest. Anyhow, it was Vaughn's greatest design. And now... I see a horse named Maya
Isn't this fate?
Let me see the paper, sugar. Oh, yeah, here she is at Southern Gardens. Oh, my goodness, she's running at 32 to 1.
Is that a fact? So let me see now. For $500...
$500?
I should get back $16,000. Well, it'll make up a little bit for what we lost on the Maya.
You want to bet $500?
Is it too small a bet?
No. I think it's just fine.
I was wondering if you could do me a favor.
Oh, yes, of course, the favor.
Well, you see, I don't know any bookmakers. I mean, after all...
Oh, I understand.
So I was wondering if you...
Well, certainly. You want me to call one?
On the telephone? It was like a taxi cab.
Oh, well, that's the easiest thing doing. You just pick up the phone and there you get right through. Now, you hold on just a minute.
Yeah?
Sally Joe, a gentleman's here. Wants to place a little bet. 18 carat.
Good for the dough.
A very solid individual.
Put him on.
Morris?
Oh, yes, thank you. Hello? With whom am I speaking?
That don't matter. Just say your piece.
Oh, there's a horse called Maya.
Running into fifth at Sutton Gardens, 32 to 1 and carrying 106 pounds. How much you want?
Will $500 be all right?
To win?
Of course to win. What then, to lose?
Most times in 10 minutes. 500 on Maya. What's your initials?
Morris Goodman, M.G.
Stay near that phone. I'll call you back.
It's for you, sugar. Answer it.
Hello, Morris Goodman speaking.
She run out of the money.
What does that mean?
It means you lose.
Oh.
It also means you gotta pay me 5 big bills.
Yeah, I understand.
You got it on you?
Would I bet if I didn't?
You are a man in a million. Stay there, I'll be right over.
Coming.
You got my 500?
What a business. How quick money changes hands.
You're new, huh? You got my 5.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
How could you prove I made such a bet?
I got it written down.
Oh. You write down every time somebody makes a bet with you,
Don't you keep a record in your business who owes what?
Well, I got an accountant. I keep books. What have you got?
I got slips.
Slips?
Slips of paper.
Oh.
Do you deny you made the bet?
Oh, no, I made it.
Then hand over my 5.
Could I see my slip first?
What do you want it for?
A souvenir.
Okay. Yeah.
Maya, 500 MG. Huh. It's an expensive slip of paper.
Yeah. Come on, Morris. Hand over my dough.
You are under arrest, Adrian.
Why?
Sugar.
What kind of joke?
It's no joke. I'm serious.
You chump. Did you ring in a cop on me?
Sugar, it's Morris Goodman.
I am making what is known as a citizen's arrest. Any citizen is
empowered. Listen, I don't like this. Give me my dough or you're going to like it a lot less.
I am arresting you for the murder of Perry Fullerton.
Wait a minute.
Now, you want to be careful, Mr. Goodman.
Listen, Morris, I can take a joke.
You were here and you killed him.
You're crazy.
Vaughn says he saw both of you here.
Why shouldn't he say that?
It's his word against ours.
We were in Atlantic City.
Well, you make sure you can prove it. Where did you stay, huh? With whom? Have you got receipts, tickets?
I think I'm gonna have to take care of this chump.
Don't be crazy, Hadrian. What can he prove?
I can prove that this slip of paper of yours is exactly the same as the one that was found on the floor under Perry Fullerton's body. It's the exact same paper, the exact same handwriting. Yours.
Oh, I gotta kill this clown now.
Lieutenant Valentine thinks it's a note Perry wrote to himself. He thinks Maya 500 PF means personality frocks would pay him $500 for the Maya. But this is a bet slip. Your slip. PF is Perry Fullerton.
He's too smart. Too smart.
You can't kill him here.
No, we'll take him someplace quiet. All right, you get moving, chump, and don't make a noise.
You certainly have enough knives.
Just stay close to me and shut up.
Where's everybody going?
Look out for him, Julio.
Phil, he's not trouble. You saw Morris with one hand. What are we doing?
We're making a citizen's arrest.
Hey, that's far. We should do this more often.
No, thanks. Once is enough for me. Lieutenant, how fast can I get Bourne out? He has to get back to work.
Oh, the papers won't take more than half an hour.
Our false showing is less than a week away.
Tell me, Mr. Goodman, how were you able to perceive the salient facts? How could you, in the face of all this apparent evidence, believe that Bourne was innocent?
Well, Lieutenant, how could he mix red with pink?
There must have been something else.
Well, Lieutenant, there's an extensive literature written on the subject. Have you ever heard the poem that says, "Let me clasp his hand and call him friend, and I'll stand by his side till the bitter end"?
Who wrote that?
Who do you think? Morris Goodman.
This has been a story of friends. Friends who were loyal and friends who were false. Friends. They make living possible, but also can make living impossible. The book tells us that a faithful friend is the medicine of life. And while medicines cure, they can also kill. Friends, for better, for worse, who can do without them? Since we cannot do without you, I shall be back in just a few moments.
Children make a lot of noise, but to me it's a wonderful sound. They have a lot of energy, a lot of playing to do before they take on the serious world of adulthood. Every day they take on a bit more of this wonderful world. I guess we're lucky, because there are so many places in the world where the children are too weak, even for play. Bangladesh, Honduras, right here at home. They're weak from a lack of protein and essential vitamins, weak from the bad water and the parasites that rob them of important nutrients. A childhood of tears instead of laughter. And even if they do manage to become adults, their minds and limbs will be stunted by chronic malnutrition. You can help a child to grow up strong and independent, maybe even be one of tomorrow's leaders. Send your contribution to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
Vanity of vanity, said the preacher. All is vanity. And our story was based on one of mankind's greatest vanities, the adornment of the body. And yet, is it so sinful for a woman to wish to appear lovely? After all, isn't a well-dressed woman sweeter to look upon? Besides, it gives gainful employment to so many people. And it has given us a subject for a tale of murder. Our cast included Arnold Stang, Norman Rose, Jackson Beck, Earl Hammond, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
For some purpose, this man of science is making a study of you. I know that look of his. I have seen that cold illumination as he bends over a bird, a mouse, a butterfly, which, in pursuit of some experiment, he has killed by the perfume of a flower. Now, if you know him not, how should he know you?
I would only be surmising, and it is a subject I would rather not pursue.
And an acquaintance you had better not either. For heed me carefully, Signor Giovanni. I would stake my life that if you are not already one of Rappaccini's inhuman experiments, you are marked for it.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant
dreams.
And the weather outlook for the KIXI listening area, calling for rain tomorrow morning, showers with partial clearing tomorrow afternoon, partly cloudy tomorrow night and Thursday. Highs in the mid-50s, lows in the mid-40s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's gone up 1 degree, now 56 degrees. It's 54 at the airport, the barometer falling, it reads 30.10.
Filling the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News next. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford is safely back at the White House after being involved in an automobile accident Tuesday night in Hartford, Connecticut. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president was in Connecticut for a political speech. After delivering it and while riding back to the airport in his limousine, President Ford noticed a car coming toward him. He braced himself and was not hurt when the auto smacked broadside into his limousine. State Republican Chairman Frederick Beeble, riding with Mr. Ford, sustained a slight injury. The Secret Service said there is no reason to believe the incident was anything more than an accident. The driver of the car, 19-year-old James Salinitas of Meriden, Connecticut, submitted voluntarily to a blood test to determine if he'd been drinking. Test results have not been announced. Lieutenant Thomas Grant of the Hartford Police said they do not intend to charge Salinitas pending the outcome of those tests. Grant also said the lead car in the presidential motorcade was some distance from Mr. Ford's limousine and that the presidential car did go through a red light at the intersection and there was no police officer at the corner. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
President Ford was in Connecticut Tuesday night to speak to a Republican fundraising affair. He told his audience in Hartford that he will use the veto 100 times if necessary, warning Congress not to pass big tax cuts without cutting the federal budget. Mr. Ford said his vetoes have saved the taxpayers $6 billion since he took office. The president told his audience,
as we talk about the problem of bigger government, heavier burdens financially, and less freedom, it's well to remember the following. A government big enough to give us everything we want is a government big enough to take from us everything we have.
Earlier, the president dropped in unannounced on a meeting of Connecticut realtors. He told them that he'll soon have some good news about the economy. White House aides later told reporters that among the items to be announced is that the gross national product increased 9% during the third quarter. U.S. Forest Service officers say a big blaze in Colorado, which had been burning since Saturday, was brought under control late Tuesday. The flames burned over 4,000 acres in the White River National Forest. In Eagle, Colorado, forestry technician Tom Remnick had this information.
information for CBS News.
The fire's under control now. They have a fire line all the way around it, and it's burnt 4,132 acres of forest land and 306 acres of private land. Most of the fire lines were built with caterpillars and hand crews. It's going to affect the district in terms of it's really a popular elk hunting area, and there's some pretty popular fishing up there.
Officials estimate the fire caused $6.7 million worth of damage to timber and watershed. A man suspected of killing a policeman and robbing a bank finally released all of his hostages and surrendered Tuesday night at a resort in Kings Beach, California. 34-year-old Ken Miller released the last of several hostages he'd been holding and gave himself up. That came after talking to a federal firearms agent flown in at Miller's request. Governor George Wallace of Alabama on Wednesday will meet with Prime Minister Leo Tindemans of Belgium. Wallace arrived Tuesday night in Brussels, flying in from London. Belgium, the second stop on Wallace's extensive European trip. Now this.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
Hello, world. Tony Bracken here. And with who else but himself, the super chef Mike Roy? The big fella and I are going to tell you what's going to happen on the cook thing tomorrow. And you have a devilish grin, Chef.
Because tomorrow I'm going to divulge something I've kept a secret a long time.
You're going to tell us how much you weigh?
No, sir. I'm going to tell everyone how much fun it is to put together these broadcasts we do every Monday through Friday and get paid for it, too.
You know, even the CIA doesn't know how much Mike Roy weighs, friends. The cook thing tomorrow on CBS. Oh, yes.
It was an exciting World Series game Tuesday night in Cincinnati. A total of 6 home runs in the game that went 10 innings as the Cincinnati Reds edged the Boston Red Sox 6-5. Joe Morgan hit a 10th inning single with the bases loaded to give the Reds their second straight win and put them in front by 2-1 and just 2 games away from their first World Championship since 1940. Game 3, Wednesday night in Cincinnati. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The time now is 6 minutes past 11.